background, we hear Safam, and this is a 2.5 hour special of their wonderful music. And I'm going to have a very interesting conversation in a few minutes. This is Charlie Bernhout with another show of Jewish soul music. This is show number 242 of March 24th. Many of you who have heard me over the years know that I'm such a great fan of Safam. So let's move on, and it's my pleasure to welcome Dan Funk, who is one of the founders of Safam.
I'm fine, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. There's so much to go through. Why don't you just tell us, first of all, how Safam came into existence?
Well, for those who remember the state of Jewish music back in the early 70s, most of what you heard was Hasidic music coming out of Israel. And they used to have these Hasidic song festivals, which were very lively, and some terrific melodies that have stood the test of time arose from those yearly festivals in Israel. And several of us were singing in the Boston Zamir Chorale, and in addition to traditional choral music, periodically, towards the end of the show, we'd start doing some lively Hasidic songs. And it was clear to three of us who were in Zamir at the time, who became part of Safam, that those were the most exciting and interesting moments for us in the choir's repertoire. So little by little, we started to get together on our own and sing some of those songs and pull out also some other Israeli songs that interested us. And little did we know that we had a songwriter amidst the three of us at the time. It was Alan Nelson, Joel Sussman, and me. And Joel Sussman had begun to write songs that fit into a Jewish repertoire. So our first year doing Safam concerts, very modest. We were mixing in English and Hebrew songs, and we didn't really have a full repertoire yet. But in
What year would this be? About what year?
It would have been 1974-75.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall of 75, things took a dramatic turn for the better because we found Robbie Solomon. Robbie Solomon found us. He became our second songwriter and, you know, multi-talented in terms of his singing and his songwriting and his instrumentation. So We kind of hit our mark at that point, and things took off from there. Our first album came out in 1976. So we were a mixed bag early on. I mean, I guess we've always been a mixed bag, but you know, at the beginning we had our first album, we had 11 songs, 7 were original, 4 were covers, you know, we were starting to make a little bit of a mark.
Uh-huh.
I would have to say that the 1978, when Leaving Mother Russia came out, that really kind of put us on the map. You know, we can talk about how things progressed. But the story behind Leaving Mother Russia, when we get to playing that song, I'll tell you the interesting story of how it came
great.
Out.
Great, great. What is your musical background?
My father, Rabbi Julius Funk, was the Hillel director at Rutgers for 39 years.
Uh-huh.
And he was very musical to begin with. He was a high holiday cantor on top of his rabbinical duties at Hillel. And needless to say, we used to sit around singing songs. We wrote on Shabbat, and our seders were full of music. My brothers and I all could sing. And over the years, I was in everything from high school choir and barbershop quartet, and then the Hillel choir in college, rock band in high school as well. Yeah, a mixed bag of things, and like I said, led to singing in Zamir, and which ultimately led to Safam.
Uh-huh. Well, I started my DJ career in 1977 at WFMU, again, my hobby, and Safam has always been a favorite of mine, and one of the things that I... There are several things I love about your group, aside from the fact that you the subjects of many of your songs are right on in terms of my own particular feelings about Israel. but I love the music, and it's not this what I call yabba dabba doo music, which is just taken over by the band. There's very little of this kind of music today, and I feel very sad about that.
Well, you know, I can't speak to, I'm no expert on the Jewish music of today, but I will say that we've always felt that what we were doing was a bit different from a lot of the groups that you heard in New York and in Israel. Everyone had a role to play and had a sound of their own.
Uh-huh.
And that was great. We always wondered why there weren't other groups doing what we were doing, this mixture of English, Hebrew, modern, traditional, strong vocals, original. And I think what we concluded was what came easily to us perhaps wasn't so easy after all. If it were that easy, there would have been many, many Safam-type groups.
Right.
And I guess there really haven't been over the years.
No, unfortunately. Okay, we're going to begin with Shehechiyonu.
Well, I figured that was a good opening song, given what the Shehechiyonu means, that we're all grateful to be here to this day, reaching this day. And this song came out in the 90s, and it starts off very prayerful and turns into a real rocker, a real spirited song. So hang on to your hats as the song changes course. It's really a really very fun song.
Okay, Shehechiyonu.
Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehechiyonu Vekimanu Vehigiyanu Lazman Oh,
Well, that's certainly a rather lively rendition of Shehecheyanu.
Yeah, it kind of gets your attention, I think.
Yes. That was from an album, After All These Years, in 1995. Going back to 1980, Sons of Safam, I hate to say favorites because so many of yours are, I sound a little repetitive, but this certainly is one of my most favorites, The World of Our Fathers. How about telling us a little of the background about this?
Well, you know, the Sons of Safam album, which is the one you're referring to, which came out in 1980, we had 9 songs ready because one side of the album, and back then there were actually sides to albums, record albums, was all our Hallel service. And we're going to play a song from that later. And it was very well put together and well thought through as a compilation. And the other side was a mixture of mostly English songs, including the title song. And we were looking for that 10th song. And wouldn't you know it, Robbie kind of came up with the magic of World of Our Fathers as our last song on that album. It really rounded it off in a way that we couldn't possibly have predicted. But one thing I want to say about this, and the people who've heard it know, and the people who haven't heard it, when they hear it, they'll get it. The tagline in that, in the chorus, is Yai Dai Dai in America. Now, it wasn't intended to symbolize anything other than kind of the synthesis of Jewish kite and Americanism kind of blending together. But when people ask me to describe Safam's music, that's kind of the way I talk about it, that it is this synthesis of tradition and modernity. And in a sense, that line from World of Our Fathers really kind of captures what I think Safam is all about in terms of our music.
Now, there's a discussion about Boston, and you live in the, that area, I gather?
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey, but settled here when I came up to law school and stayed. We've all emanated from Boston for most of our careers in Safam. Robbie Solomon's now in Baltimore, but for most of his career with Safam, he was living up here as well. So the Boston area. So, I mean, I think he could have mentioned almost any large East Coast, Northeast city to fit into the song, but because this is, you know, our home at the time that this was all happening, he tied it into the Boston area.
You know, the theme is reminiscent of my Zaidi also, the two of them sort of describe the what has unfortunately happened to many of our people.
Well, the last verse, I think, kind of does touch on that theme of my Zaidi in terms of who will say Kaddish for me. And
yes.
In this case,
yes.
You know, there was an element of that kind of reference in the last verse.
Yeah.
But it was mostly a kind of a story, a history.
Oh, yes.
Integration process that showing some evolution.
Yeah, yeah. A little pessimistic, but ends up in an optimistic vein.
That's another theme that we like to emphasize in our music.
Got it. Okay, so we're going back to 1980. This is World of Our Fathers.
Came to America in 1904. I was fleeing persecution and the army of the Tsar. Reached Ellis Island alone and half insane, so I left there with a different name. If it wasn't for my people, I don't know what I'd do. And I thank the Lord above me that I was born a Jew. They sheltered me and fed me till I got on my feet, and my mother's words came back to me. Just don't forget where you came from, my son, and the world of your fathers you'll soon leave behind. Just keep the faith of your people wherever you go. They're a friend you will find. I was just another greenhorn looking for a job. I prevailed upon a landsman to finally take me on. Worked as a peddler 10 hours every day. In the evening I brought home my pay. Then I saved till I put enough aside. Then I sent it to my father, his passage for Dubai. Money for the steerage and money for the bride. It was 4 years since my mother died. I won't forget where I came from, my mother. Each day in the synagogue I pray for you. I built a life for us here in America. How proud you would be if you knew. Sisters and my baby brother too. Then we moved up to New England near some people that we knew. I made a bit of money in Boston's old North End, which we gradually learned how to spend. A bunch of little citizens I brought into this world, but most of them were no goods who squandered while I toiled. Sophisticate Americans they very soon became. Of their father they would grow ashamed. Just don't forget where we came from, my children. The world of our fathers is what made us strong. Don't sell your souls for the thrills of America. What price must you pay to belong? Says to me, mein Zayde, when the children learn to speak, abyssal Yiddish you should teach them. The time, so many times, when I feared that all was lost. We had come so far so fast that I wondered what the cost. But now I see my father's world begin to rise in my great-grandchildren's eyes.
Dan, I particularly love that phrase, sophisticated Americans they very soon became. It's such a, it does hit the
nail. Sounds like Yoda talking backwards, doesn't it? Just a little added note. We had backing us on that song, the Klezmer Conservatory Band, before they were a hot item, as they became.
Yes.
And also Don Byron was their chief clarinetist.
Oh, really?
And, of course, he's become a star in his own right. So we're very fortunate to have that kind of backup on that song that really gave it the klezmer feel that it has. You know, klezmer music being what it is, when people want to know what kind of music we do if they have no idea, oh, you must be a klezmer band. I say, no, that's not really what we do. But this song is the one exception where it's got a Hasidic feel, a klezmer feel, and of course it tells a story.
Yes, yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. The next selection will be from your Bittersweet album in 1983, Yismichu.
Well, like I said earlier, Hasidic music was really impacting us in our origins, and it stayed with us. You know, finding that Hasidic tune that had spirit, had melody, and had something that we could put a safam feel to.
Mm-hmm.
This one has, in the middle of it, you'll hear a Chazonish piece, which was my first foray into that world.
Uh-huh.
It's mostly a Hasidic song with a little Chazonish twist, and it stayed popular all these years. We know that there are synagogues that use this tune, and I'm very proud of it.
Did any of those involved with Safam become cantors?
Well, I'm a High Holiday cantor, even though that was never my main profession, but uh-huh. I've been doing High Holiday services as a cantor since 1977. Joel Sussman is also a High Holiday cantor, a little after I did it, but he's been doing it for many years. And,
uh-huh.
of course, Robbie Solomon has been a full-time cantor all along.
Where?
So it's in our background, but it really just shows up here and there in our music, but this is one of the songs that features it.
Yes. Where is Robbie Solomon full-time?
Baltimore Hebrew Congregation.
Uh-huh. Okay. Quite a Jewish community down there in Baltimore. Very interesting one, to say the least.
And we're going to be performing there next November. So for those Baltimore area listeners, November 23rd, check it out.
Hey, you have to be sure to give me the information for my calendar. And while we're talking about concerts on April 6th, just in a week and a half or so, by the time you listen to this, at Temple Beth Shalom of Fairlawn at 40-25 Fairlawn Avenue in Fairlawn, New Jersey. That will be at 1:30 in the afternoon. You can hear Safam live, one of their forays back to New Jersey. I always associate you with New Jersey. I'm a Jersey boy. What can I tell you?
Well, there's a reason for that. There are a lot of Jews in New Jersey, a lot of synagogues, a lot of Jewish organizations. And like I often say over the years, we go where the Jews are.
Uh-huh.
We know that's our audience. That's our target audience.
Right.
And I'm from New Jersey, so I've got an affinity for much of the state in terms of my experience as well. So, we're happy to come back to New Jersey. And Fairlawn, Beth Shalom of Fairlawn is where we'll be on April 6th.
By the way, I was very much involved with the Highland Park community for many years, and I knew your late father, and he was a wonderful man, and all the great work that he did at Rutgers.
The Highland Park Temple was a big supporter of his. He did High Holidays there for many years.
Yeah.
I learned the service from him initially,
uh-huh.
And of course, they've also, that community has been a big supporter of Safam, along with the whole Rutgers community.
So, yes.
And of course, that's where I grew up. I went to Highland Park High School. That was those are my roots.
Really, I was very sad to hear that Rabbi Hilzenrath passed away just recently.
Yes, that is.
Yeah, he was a really wonderful, wonderful person.
Terrific.
Yes.
Terrific.
Yes. Okay, so let's hear Yismichu Safam.
Yes,
Yismachu, very, very lively. The next selection, all of your, I shouldn't say all, many, many of your selections are so in tune to the trials and tribulations of our people. And I think Just Another Foreigner, Leaving Mother Russia, and Amnesty, and Falasha, and other more, they really describe our history in such a great, a beautiful way.
Well, it's kind of inescapable if you're going to be doing Jewish music to ignore the elements in our history where so much tragedy has brought us together. And if there's ever something positive that brings us together, we want to hit on that too.
Uh-huh.
Just Another Foreigner kind of talks about the brotherhood among Jews, the sisterhood among Jews, wherever we are in the world. And this song has been a long-lasting favorite, over the years. This was also on the Bittersweet album.
Uh-huh.
I want to emphasize, I probably said it earlier, but that, every song that we're playing tonight, with the exception of the last two, which are covers, every song was written by either Joel Sussman or Robbie Solomon, two of the members of the group. So all these songs are original. And I think that's one of the things that stands us out from some of the other performers out there. You can't teach creativity, either you have it or you don't.
Right.
And we've been blessed with Robbie and Joel's creativity over the years. For me in the group, not being a songwriter, I'm as awed by their the proficiency and the talents that they bring in this vein as our listeners and fans are. So
yes.
And
Dan, I think one of the things, of the many reasons why I really am a great fan of yours, is that I'm very sad that over the years, I've been doing my program since 1977, and I have, 12, 14, 15,000 albums. I've listened to a lot of Jewish music. I don't find any other group that is so tuned in to the situation of our people, or even commentary. You talk about creativity. There is creativity, but not in the way of being giving commentary about our lives. And it's sadly lacking, unfortunately.
It's hard to capture. We've talked about this amongst ourselves. It's hard to capture some of these issues and not be trite about them. A lot of songs out there might be good songs, but in the end, they're more songs you'd sing around a campfire, which has its place, or songs that you would, it just doesn't have a lasting impact.
Right.
the fact that Robbie and Joel have been able to pick on the issues, I mean, their creativity is music, but the creativity is also how they've lyricized the issues so that they make an impact in the song.
Right.
And, you know, I can't explain it other than to say that we're all fortunate and blessed that they've got it.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so this is Just Another Foreigner from the Bittersweet Bittersweet album.
Sitting in a hall in Kiryat Shmona, with Jews from Syria, from Yemen and Iran, the only Ashkenazi in Kiryat Shmona. I can hear their laughter, but I cannot understand. Just another foreigner in another foreign land. But these strangers are my brothers as they take me by the hand, singing Aleichem Salam. Salam Aleichem, Heim Shiru, Bruchim Habayim, Shalom Aleichem. I met a man from Addis Ababa. His skin was black and his features kind of strange. He showed me a book that he said was the Torah, and spoke of his people, Falasha was their name. Just another foreigner in another foreign land, and I knew he was my brother when he took me by the hand, singing, O Tanastali, Shalom Aleichem, Heim Shiru, Ruchim Habayim, Shalom Aleichem.
From looking for a job in the cold Russian wind, it's been 5 hungry years while she waits for a visa. She still lights the candles as Shabbos begins. Just another foreigner in another foreign land, but she's joining all her people as she follows God's command. Toz darovo, shalom aleichem, heim shiru.
Welcome one and all, we're singing,
welcome my sisters, welcome
one and all, one and all.
Ruchim Habayim, Shalom Aleichem.
We're singing,
Ruchim Habayim, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom
Aleichem. Wow, I love it. Oh, and this next selection is a classic, to say the least.
It really is. There's a lot I can say about this. Some stories. One of the best stories, and these are, of course, true stories.
Right. By the way, to my listeners, we're talking about Leaving Mother Russia.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, Leaving Mother Russia by Robbie Solomon.
Yes.
The first time that the band heard the song was the first time Robbie performed it. He actually performed it without us.
Oh.
He had a surprise. It was early in the years of our Rutgers concerts. We did Rutgers Hillel 30 years in a row, from around mid-70s to mid-aughts. And this was at the Hillel building that was on the Douglas College campus. So it was before we were doing the State Theater and the really big, big shows.
Uh-huh.
So Robbie had told the bass player and the drummer on the way down that he told them about it. We must have come in different vehicles or something. The other guys, the other performers, the lead guys, the three of us, we didn't know anything about it. So towards the end of the show, he actually sat down at the piano and said, you know, I have this song that I just wrote and I'd like to share with everybody. And boom, there it was, Leaving Mother Russia. I mean, we didn't even know it was coming. And it blew everybody away, needless to say. And, you know, as the years have gone on, it's at the time it was speaking about wrongs that were happening at the time, and for years to come. And then when things opened up and Russian Jews, Soviet Jews were able to leave, the song still resonates, we have found, if nothing else, as a piece of history.
Oh, yes.
For people these days, or the last 20 years, unless they know their Jewish history, their modern Jewish history, they may not have known about those struggles.
Right.
You sing the song and it tells them, you know, a poetic story about it. And at least it has a happy ending, particularly for Natan Sharansky. Two other things about the song, and we'll get to the music in a minute.
Sure. Sure.
Just too much good stuff here. We used
of
to
course.
Perform it at the United Nations Plaza back in the early 80s at the height of the Soviet Jewry movement. And Broadway performers got up on this big stage and politicians, the governor, the mayor of New York, and so on. And we'd be there playing Hasidic music, and then at one point, Robbie Solomon would get up and sing Leaving Mother Russia. That was pretty cool. There were like 250,000 people at the UN Plaza.
Right.
But coming full circle, 2 years ago, we performed the song up here in Newton, Massachusetts, and Natan Sharansky was in the audience. And he came, we knew it, of course. He was the main speaker of the night. And as we were going to the last chorus, he comes walking down the long aisle of the synagogue. And I tell you, if people didn't have chills when they saw that with us doing the music,
wow.
And walking down, and on our website, you can see some pictures of us finishing the song and him walking up there. And it was an amazing moment. And it was just amazing how it all came full circle.
Wow. I'm a crybaby. I got tears just hearing that story. It's great. One of the other things, Dan, is that this came out in your Encore album of 1978. And that is 36 years ago, and I'm an old timer, if you will, with a lot of nostalgia. And I realize if somebody was, let's say, 15 years old or younger, they never heard this music. So for people who are today 50 years old, many of them never heard the music.
Well, you had to be at the right place at the right
time.
You know?
Yes, yes. It's really our generation, well, my generation, those of us who were in the 60s and 70s and 80s, who really were exposed to your music. And I, you know, one of my missions is to make sure that this current generation, I don't know how many youngsters are listening to this, but because this is archived and will be available forever, who knows, I feel a mission that Safam has to, it's part of history, you know.
We endorse that mission. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I get excited about it.
Okay. We're happy about it.
Okay.
Happy to hear it, really. Thank you.
Okay, so let's hear We Are Leaving Mother Russia. By the way, for those who may never have never heard this, tell us about the names that you're mentioning towards the end.
These were the so-called refuseniks, the many named and known protesters, who most of whom went to jail just for speaking out on behalf of their own Judaism in Russia and Soviet Union at that time. And so they all kind of had a following, with Sharansky being the lead, so to speak, of the face of the movement. And so those names were being spoken to, you know, not memorialize because they were still alive, but to commemorate
yes.
the struggle that they've been going through.
Right. Okay. We Are Leaving Mother Russia.
They called me Anatole. In prison I did lie.
my little window looked out on a Russian sky. For nearly 9 long years, secluded and in pain, and all my people know the charges were a frame. See my accuser standing in the hall. He points his finger at us all. You now must pay the penalty for the crime of daring to be free. Centuries we call this land our home. We love the Russian soil as much as anyone. In countless armies our young boys have died for you, but never did you call them sons, you always called them Jew. We fell in battle for this arm. 100,000 died at Babi-Yar, and yet your monument denies their faith, while on our passports we read,
Well, and they did leave Mother Russia.
Thankfully, they did. Yes. You got it.
Sometimes, sometimes our prayers do work. The next selection is, it's two songs, I guess. It's Amnesty and Jerusalem.
Well, it's Jerusalem. What we did was, for our first Greatest Hits double CD compilation, Greatest Hits 1 and 2, we made a few changes. In addition to adding a couple of new songs, one of which we'll hear later, to that Greatest Hits compilation, we re-recorded portions of the song Amnesty and the song Jerusalem, and made them, and we had a, and musically that we put a bridge between the two, because there's a natural progression to the idea of people receiving amnesty and leaving the persecution that they were suffering under and ending up in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a natural connection between the two. So this shows up in our Greatest Hits, and two of our early hits are put together here.
Okay.
The history of mankind is filled with hurt and pain. Oppressors, they are overthrown to return once again. It started in the Bible when Pharaoh did decree. The slaves will build my palaces and no man shall go. Turn to Jerusalem, I can still recall the first time I laid eyes upon your golden wall. Jerusalem, by your very name, brings the images of my year with you rushing back again. Jerusalem, your precious stone, tells the story of the ages that man has known. Jerusalem, when each step I take, brings me closer to the one I knew and lets me see my heritage.
Back to Jerusalem. Was there somebody in the group that had lived in Jerusalem for a while?
Yeah, Joel Sussman, who wrote the song, I think it was a reflection of a year he spent there early on in his college life.
Right.
And the song just seemed to come naturally to him. It's one of the first songs he wrote for the group.
Uh-huh. Great song. Great song.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, now next we have Falasha, Nevermore. This was from A Brighter Day, a 1986 album.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in addition to the Soviet Jewry movement, there were other Jews elsewhere in the world who were struggling in their own right, and in this case it was the Ethiopian Jews,
mm-hmm.
Who Israel basically took upon itself to rescue them, get them out of Ethiopia, and I think they called it Operation Moses, Operation Exodus. They had several different operations.
There's
there
some bird also, I think.
What's that?
Something about a bird on the wings.
Well, they probably had a number of different names for it.
Right.
The term Falasha is a derogatory term that was imposed upon them. It means outcast. And so that's why the name of the song is Falasha and Nevermore.
Gotcha.
And it tells a story.
Okay.
Open wide your loving arms, see your children coming home. Give them shelter from the storm, they're coming home. We were dying in Africa, in the region of Gondar, and the children were crying out with disease and with hunger. So we set out on the road to freedom, 500 miles to the north. We were 10,000 refugees on a line from Lake Tana. We were met by the Sudanese as we left Ethiopia, carrying our one possession, the holy books, the Torah. Now we're going home as the eagle soars. We have found shalom at your own.
Oh, my name it is Avram. I'm the priest for all my people. When we moved into Ashkelon, I was sick and I was feeble. But the gates of Shaare Tzedek open wide for my whole family. Beta Israel is the name we have taken. Though they called us Flasha in their scorn and their hatred, but with your help and kindness, we are learning to be Israeli.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's you know, your sound is so easy. That's among the many things I like about it. You know, it's not screaming and yelling. It's just got an easiness to it. I don't know the correct terminology.
We're not particularly good at the screaming and yelling thing, I guess. I don't know. This is more natural to us.
Oh, yes. Okay. The next selection is from an album, a more recent album, only 15 years ago, 1999. In spite of it all, tell us about Lecha Romamun.
Well, this is a version of this prayer from the Torah processional service. This is where the rabbi and cantor walk around some parts of the congregation down from the bima, carrying the Torah prior to the reading of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to sing this on high holidays every chance I get. Because it's a beautiful piece, and it's a nice alternative to the traditional one that everybody knows. So Lecha Romamu.
Okay.
Lecha Hashem Hagidula VeHagivura VeHatiferet VeHanetzach VeHahod. Lecha Hashem HaGedulah
Okay, our next selection is from an album, On Track, from 1993. We'll be hearing Murano.
Well, Murano, the lyrics kind of speak for themselves. It's a fictional account of a New York Jew who goes to New Mexico and encounters on a Friday night date a descendant of the Muranos, many of whom settled in that part of the country. And it's got a nice kind of Latin beat to it, and again, tells a terrific story.
Okay, let's hear Murano.
A New York boy was on the go, living in New Mexico. He was lonely, for he did not have a friend. Difficult because the Jewish voice inside his heart was dead. And then he met Maria, like a vision in the night. He thought he saw the answer hiding somewhere in her eyes. Friday night they had a date. Maria, she was running late, so he went upstairs and headed by. Sounded like Malevolent, so he looked to find her standing in the dark. And he saw a vision that cut him like a knife. Maria lit two candles and then she covered up her eyes. Oh, Murano, Converso was the name from the Spanish Inquisition. They would hide themselves away. The places they go, secrets they know. Was inside. He even knew the lyric.
Murano. We'll have one more selection for this first part of this interview with Dan Funk from the Safam Group. Dan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Nachamu. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, Nachamu turned out to be a bit of a surprise in terms of the response we got to it. I mentioned earlier that when we put out our greatest hits compilation in the early 90s, we wanted to put a couple of new songs on it as well. And one of the new songs that had not yet appeared on a single album was Nachamu. And it was really quite fascinating because, you know, it's one of those songs, it's more mostly a ballad. It gets a little rockish in the middle, but it's mostly a ballad. And it comes from a Haftorah from the book of Isaiah. With this Haftorah is said the Shabbat after Tisha B'Av every year, and it's about comforting the Jewish people and how after the destruction of the temple that they should be comforted, and after destruction comes rebirth and rebuilding and so on. And, you know, this is a song that has been adapted by many Jewish a cappella groups in universities throughout the country. We've gotten calls about using it. We've seen little videos, and we've just heard it done in those. It seems to have really resonated, particularly among the younger crowd. And you would have expected it to be that kind of song, but it did, and resonates to this day.
Okay, let's hear Nachamu.
Kiflaim bechol chayim.
Well, that was Nachamu, and this is Charlie Bernhout bringing to the end this first segment of this interview with Safam, with Dan Funk. And stay tuned for the next hour and a quarter. Time is not a problem when you have a website, and we're going to hear more of this wonderful, wonderful music. Dan, we look forward to the second hour.
Great. Me too.
Okay.